Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live today at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Preds game day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths, on the web at GoHermitage.com. Congratulations to Caroline Fenton and the LSU Tigers. You guys have a coach.
We have a coach. I don't know how I feel about it, but we have a coach. That's all that matters. And we can finally stop all of the speculation. All of the, you know, don't count anything out and expect everything as a possibility.
Do you like your coach?
I guess we're going to find out.
Ian, do you like her coach for her?
Not really.
Ooh, not really.
But I mean, but it's, you know, I'm not an LSU fan. It doesn't really matter what I think.
It's one of those things that if he wins, and if he wins more than 6, 7, 8 games a year, I'll love him.
Yeah, but that, like, Satan could win, you know, in college football and they'd love him. You know, it'd be like, you know, look, I know Satan's kind of a bad guy, but Satan.
I know he's a bit of a hothead, but he wins games.
Did take down Alabama. That's all. Tell you what.
If Satan took down Alabama, then you know what? Put the purple and gold on him. Give him a headset. He's the new head coach of these LSU Tigers.
Really proud of Lucifer.
Yeah.
You know. Hey, my school tried that. We hired Bobby Petrino twice. So, you know, I'm not one to judge here. But even to start with this, Last night, I was floored when I saw the hire of Brian Kelly to LSU. I was even more so floored when I saw what I think is an inaccurate report from Dennis Dodd that they were going to pay him $15 million a season to coach LSU.
It was an inaccurate report. His contract is 10 years, $95 million.
Now, I think there are incentives, though, that are going to bump that.
There are incentives, but it's not a base salary of $15 million a year.
So, he basically signed the John Gruden contract, right? John Gruden to the Raiders. You know, everybody wanted to get John Gruden out of ESPN, and nobody could. And then finally, the Raiders offered him $100 million. So, I want to start here, which is a couple of years ago. This actually, there's a lot of GM in this right here. I could use a GM chuckle today. And if you're listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I was listening to an old Jared the GM podcast about 2 months ago. And it was from 2016, the first year we were together. And it was about LSU's decision to hire Ed Orgeron as their coach. In fact, it was in the middle of the process where LSU was looking to find their coach. And I kept interrupting the GM, which I was young at the time, and unfortunately I did interrupt him a lot. But he was talking about LSU can get whomever they want. And he has always believed that. Any of these schools, LSU, Auburn, A&M, Tennessee, Alabama, they can get whomever they want. Because if it's going to take $100 million to get the coach you want, LSU, Auburn, A&M, these guys can pay it. Well, but the coach won't go for $100 million. And the GM uses it, well, he'll go for $200 million. So go find it. And for the longest time, the schools were unwilling to do that. They would say, hey, we've got all the resources in the world. But they wouldn't just go do it. They wouldn't just go give the contract that nobody could match. And then Texas A&M got tired of Kevin Sumlin, and they went out and did it with Jimbo Fisher. And that has changed the game in college football. What this does, and I think it's hilarious, but what it has done is it has now turned athletic directors into big game hunters. But they're not hunting for good coaches anymore. They're not hunting for guys to win national championships. What about Brian Kelly's tenure at Notre Dame makes you think this guy's going to win a championship? He's gotten to the playoffs twice with Notre Dame, gotten housed both times. He got to the BCS title game and got embarrassed by Alabama. I mean, I think it was 28-0 at halftime. But as an athletic director, you can get up at the podium like the USC athletic director Mike Bone did yesterday, and you can say, we've got our guy. And somehow, some way, that's what's important to athletic directors now. It should be noted, I have no idea how well Brian Kelly's going to do at LSU. I don't think it's a very good fit. Why? I don't think, because I think Brian Kelly's a jerk. And I think that works for you. But if you lose to Arkansas, that ain't going to work anymore.
Who is your favorite coach in college football?
Nick Saban.
Is he not a jerk?
When's the last time Nick Saban lost to Arkansas?
I don't know.
So, all the jerkness.
When's the last time that Brian Kelly lost to Arkansas?
Look at Vrabel. Look at Vrabel.
Okay.
Vrabel, when he is a jerk to the media and the team can't get off the field on third down, you got Corey Curtis calling him arrogant and the whole city saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. When Vrabel's a jerk to the media and they're 8-2, oh, that's our guy. You can't be Saban and Belichick unless you start winning like Saban and Belichick. And Brian Kelly's lost a lot of games at Notre Dame. I know this because the first time that my school played them, we should never be on the field with Notre Dame. We beat Notre Dame and Brian Kelly. They've lost to Duke. They've lost to Notre Dame with Brian Kelly. You can make of it whatever you want. Notre Dame, in my opinion, never played better than their program, which is what a great coach is supposed to do. Alabama's a great program, right? But they're playing above their program with Nick Saban as coach. 7 national titles in a decade, that's better than what Alabama's used to. Alabama has like 15 for their entire, history of college football, which is 150 years. They got 7 in 10 years. That's playing above your program.
So would you have suggested that LSU should have gone out and gotten Nick Saban?
Hey, if you're going to pay the money, pay the money. But this is what I'm saying, though, is college football has turned into athletic directors wanting to win hires. Like win the press conference, get the big name, get the name that people are going to say, hey, this guy, yes. When you paid at Texas A&M $70 million, I think it was $75 million guaranteed for Jimbo Fisher, which they have since then re-upped, but completely guaranteed. So an unfireable contract for Jimbo Fisher. When you give that to him, you expect to win the national championship, right? Like, I thought that's what people got into this bit. Like, that's what you're paying all the money for. Jimbo Fisher has not even sniffed the national championship. In fact, the closest he got was last year when they were out of the college football playoff. Maybe that's good enough for A&M. I don't know. But they don't have another option now. This is it with Jimbo. And maybe they're happy with that. And if they're happy with that, fine. But I'm going to guess LSU won't be happy with that. USC pays all this money to Lincoln Riley because, hey, we got our guy. The giant has been awoken, the athletic director said yesterday. Remind me, what was Oklahoma before Lincoln Riley got there? They were a top 10 program that was consistently making the college football playoff. What has Oklahoma been since Lincoln Riley has been there? A top 10 program that is consistently making the playoff. $110 million for a guy who has not outperformed his program, in my opinion. This is the key. You have to find guys that outperform their program. The other thing, and I'm going to criticize here only slightly, but this is why this trend bothers me with college football. This is just me personally. I don't think Brian Kelly's going to win at the rate at LSU that people like you and the LSU fans want him to win. Because he's never really won like that at Notre Dame. And he's had a far easier schedule. And now you're playing the SEC West where everybody's trying to win. And a guy like Gus Malzahn, who can win the SEC West, beat Alabama, and get to a national championship game, isn't good enough for Auburn. Like, that's what the SEC West is, and LSU is very much a part of that. So good luck to Brian Kelly. But I wonder if these athletic directors anymore ever actually scout coaches. Like, I don't know who the best offensive or defensive coordinator in America is. I have no idea.
I would say the best defensive coordinator was Notre Dame's defensive coordinator.
Why?
Because Notre Dame consistently had some of the best defensive stats in the country.
This year?
This past year, yeah.
So we're going to go off of...
Penn State's defensive coordinator is pretty great, who just got the head job at Virginia Tech.
See, those are all one-year guys. Like, the guy, Marcus Freeman, I think is his name?
The Notre Dame defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he wasn't coordinator last year because Vanderbilt's coach was coordinator. So I'm thinking, like, if you're a scout, like, if you're, and that's what these athletic directors are, right? Coaching scouts, you need to know who's a good scout. You need to scout out who's a good coach. And you're not going to know who fits your program, and you're not going to. When I was in Louisville, Charlie Strong was there, and he had rebuilt the program. What he had done is he had gone into Florida, and he took all these guys out of Florida, the second best player in Florida he got. Because his recruiting basis, where he was from, on Urban Meyer's staff at Florida, he brought a bunch of Florida coaches with him, took some of those guys at Miami that had gotten fired when they got caught cheating, and they went down into Florida, and they got the second best player in Florida. Well, that's going to work in the Big East. That'll get you past Rutgers. That'll get you past UConn. That'll get you past West Virginia. It's not going to work when you go to Texas. And so now you got to recruit Texas, but at the time, Texas needed a hire that they could say, hey, we got a guy, and they went out and hired Charlie Strong. I was on the radio there in Louisville at the time, and none of us thought it was going to work with Strong at Texas because he didn't have the personality. These big jobs are hard, and the expectations are not easy, and you can't slip up. And so I look at these athletic directors, and I wonder, are they looking around the country at who the best coordinators are who would fit their program? Do they know these coordinators? Does USC's athletic director know who is a good coordinator right now in the Big Ten or in the Pac-12 that could go in there and rebuild that program? It should be noted, yes, Nick Saban's the best coach in the country. He's the greatest coach of all time. Let's move him to the side. For the last decade, the second best coach has been, I would say, Dabo Sweeney. He was a wide receivers coach at Clemson. Right now, the coach of the year, probably going to be Kirby Smart. He was a coordinator. So when you spend all this money on coaches, you think the day you hire that guy, national championship. But do you get it? Jimbo Fisher's not giving it to Texas A&M. And I'm not sure if Jimbo Fisher ever will. If I could bet it, I'd bet against it. And I feel like that's what all these schools are doing now, is they just want to win today. They want to win this day. We got our guy. There's a lot of people that wonder about this Brian Kelly fit at LSU. I think you're one of them. And the reality is, I have no idea if he's going to be any good. But for the money, the expectations are going to be so high. And I hope the athletic director, by the way, the same athletic director who hired Jimbo at Texas A&M, understands it's great tomorrow to get up at your introductory press conference and say, we got our guy. How will it feel if he loses to Auburn? How will it feel if he can't beat Nick Saban? How will it feel if they lose an unfathomable game in the SEC, which almost every coach at some point in their tenure does? Kirby Smart has lost to Vanderbilt. It happens to everybody. Gus Malzahn lost to Jeremy Pruitt. Those guys are pretty good coaches. So what are the expectations? 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Here's the other thing about this that I have got to get off my chest. People are coming up with these narratives about why coaches leave jobs. I mean, like, it's pretty simple why coaches leave jobs, right? And I'm going to compare this to my own job. I love my job. I think anybody who knows me or anybody who listens to this radio show on a daily basis knows that there's probably nothing else that I could do. I am not a doctor. I am not a nurse. I am not a lawyer. I am not a carpenter. And I don't have the ability to be those things. I'm a pretty decent talk radio host. So I'm a sports fan from Nashville, Tennessee, who gets to do the afternoon drive show in their own city. The only thing better could have been the way that it used to be when we had Floyd here and they put Floyd and Caroline on the same show. It'd be the best show that anyone ever made. But there's not a lot of jobs that I would take, that I would leave this job for to go to Phoenix or go to Atlanta or New York. I'm not really interested in complaining about the Philadelphia Eagles on a weekly basis. But if somebody knocked on the door and said, hey, Jared, we'll give you $20 million to do it, Philly, here I come. So I hear these narratives about Lincoln Riley was afraid of the SEC. Come on now. Brian Kelly wants to get out of Notre Dame because you can't win a national championship at Notre Dame and you can win one at LSU. Guys, you know why Brian Kelly left? For the money. You know why Lincoln Riley left? For the money. Did you see that? $110 million, and they're buying both of his houses at $500,000 over the asking price in Norman, Oklahoma. Sure, there's probably an element of this that Lincoln would like to be in Los Angeles, but this is about the money. And I used to always laugh because it's easy for us to sit here and say, you know, what's the difference between making $6.5 million and making $10 million? Because you're making $6.5 million, so what's the difference? Talk to people that have made $6.5 million. They'll tell you they'd rather take 10. This is why Jimbo Fisher left Florida State, because of the money. And it's exactly why these big hires are getting made. So don't buy into this rhetoric of Lincoln was afraid of the SEC. So I'm supposed to think that Lincoln Riley went to USC for a crazy contract because he's afraid of the SEC. But I'm supposed to think that Brian Kelly left Notre Dame for a crazy contract because he wants to compete in the SEC. I have a hard time buying that. Don't think too hard about this. It's about the money. And if I ever show up on WIP in Philadelphia, there will only be one reason that I'm there. Because of the money. It's just like free agency in sports. Why is Jonnu Smith on the Patriots? Because they gave him $50 million guaranteed. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. I am not a believer in the Brian Kelly hire to LSU. I don't think he has the right temperament for LSU. I don't know if he's a good enough recruiter for LSU. I don't know. You know, a lot of times there's concern about bringing a non-SEC guy into the SEC. He's not an SEC guy. I understand that he's won a lot of games at Notre Dame, but he hasn't won a lot of big games against quality opponents at Notre Dame. I'm against it. You heard Ian right there. I asked Ian, said not so sure. What does Caroline think? This is her guy now. Not that you had a choice in it. What does she think? We'll get to that next. And your reaction, 615-737-1025. We are live at Bridgestone Arena today. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Other than retiring from your current profession, could you see yourself leaving Notre Dame of your own volition?
No, no. I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? You know, unless that fairy godmother comes by with that, you know, $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
I would love to know if the follow-up to that from Brian Kelly was, so what if the fairy godmother does come?
And the fairy godmother is named Scott Woodward, and he's wearing purple and gold.
If the fairy godmother comes, then what? Because if that's the case, then he didn't lie. If not, then it's just a blatant lie. So Brian Kelly to LSU, I don't like it. Ian doesn't like it. But our opinion doesn't really count, nor does it really matter. Caroline Fenton, however, is a diehard LSU apologist.
I don't know why you call me an LSU apologist.
Because you apologize for everything that LSU does.
I will be the first person to point out if LSU is doing something dumb or stupid. I just told you about 15 minutes ago. I said from the day that Coach O was hired, he's not an X's and O's guy. He's not a good football coach. But if he surrounds himself with a good offensive coordinator, a good defensive coordinator, a passing game coordinator, that he can win a national championship, and that's what he does. All he is a face and a good recruiter.
Is that what you believed when you donated to the GoFundMe to fire him before he won a national championship?
When he lost to Troy?
Is that what you believed, though, that he could win a national championship?
No, because I didn't think that he could.
Okay, so now here you are apologizing. So, LSU
alum. It was not an apology.
LSU GoFundMe donator Caroline Fenton, your thoughts on your team's hire?
I mean, I'm going to be totally honest in that I didn't think that I was going to be happy with any hire that LSU made short of Nick Saban, because I just wasn't really thrilled with the coaching market that was out there. Now, Brian Kelly coming to LSU, I had a few concerns about it, first and foremost. He's never been able to win those big games at Notre Dame. He's had 10, 11, 12 win seasons, and he's gone to the national. He's gone to the college football playoff twice and the BCS national championship once. That's an incredible resume at Notre Dame. But Notre Dame is a 10, 11, 12 win seasons is not an incredible resume. What impresses you?
You said an incredible resume at Notre Dame.
Yes. But Notre Dame and LSU and Notre Dame are two very different places.
I mean, that like
the competition at LSU is very different than the competition at Notre Dame. And the big games that he couldn't win at Notre Dame, Alabama, Alabama, and Alabama. Who does LSU play every single year? What is the only thing that will make LSU fans happy year in, year out? Is beating Alabama. So that concerns me. The culture fit concerns me because Brian Kelly's kind of an a-hole.
Yep.
And he's spent his entire life and coaching career in the Midwest. He's been at Notre Dame. He's been at Cincinnati. He's been at Central Michigan. He's a Midwestern guy. And coming into
Grand Valley State.
Grand Valley State. Sorry to all the Grand Valley State fans out there. LSU is different than any other school in the country. The SEC, what? You want to tell me it's not?
How is it different than every other school in the country?
Louisiana is different than any other state in the country. And LSU is the flagship university of Louisiana.
Okay, but how does that? How does it make it like different than, say, Auburn?
It's a completely different culture.
Okay. How so?
Cajun culture, Louisiana culture is completely different. The expectations in Louisiana are completely different. The way of life in Louisiana is completely different than in Alabama and Mississippi
but
and Texas.
Different expectations for football.
Yes.
How?
Well, I guess all schools in the SEC have different expectations, but the way that the LSU program is built is that the expectations are beating Alabama. And
so
I know that's the same in Auburn.
I think the top seven schools in the SEC have all the same expectations.
But life in Louisiana and the culture at LSU and in Louisiana is different than any other school or city or state in the country. I don't know if Brian Kelly necessarily fits that. But to that, I would say two of the last three coaches who won national championships at LSU had no ties to Louisiana, had no ties to the South, and had no ties to the SEC. Les Miles did a fine job of it. Nick Saban came from Michigan and did a fine job of it. I mean, Les Miles went to school at Michigan and is from Ohio, and he did a fine job of it. So any coach that comes after a guy who is from Bayou Lafourche, who was born and raised in Louisiana and went to LSU, is going to feel like a little bit of an odd culture fit. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. I'm a little bit concerned about recruiting, but also he's keeping on a lot of the recruiters and the recruiting staff that was there with Coach O and with Les Miles. So I'm not incredibly concerned about the coaching, but I am just concerned about the guy who was leading the LSU football team and the fit that he's going to have with the fans, with the players, with the rest of the administration. It feels like a little bit of a mismatch. And overall, I'm just concerned about his ability to win big games and his ability to win in the SEC.
So that's all I think.
Because you can win, you can beat Army, and you can beat Stanford, and you can beat Purdue. But can you beat Alabama? Can you beat Texas A&M? Can you beat Auburn? Can you beat Florida? I don't know.
Can you beat Arkansas and Mississippi State? Because those are also important, too.
Also, I would like to point out, last night, Jared told me that LSU should have hired Sam Pittman over Brian Kelly.
I would hire Sam Pittman before I'd hire Brian Kelly.
Are you insane?
Nope.
Why?
SEC guy. I want a guy from the South. And I know Nick Saban had only experience at Toledo and Michigan State before he took the LSU job and he won big. But times were different in the 90s. I think that you need an SEC guy. I think that that's the thing about the SEC is you need somebody that has experienced the SEC.
Nick Saban wasn't an SEC guy.
I just said that. I said I know, but the 90s were different.
Yes.
So I think Brian Harsin at Auburn, I think that was a very reactive hire. Basically, they just fired Gus, and then it was like, oh, crap, we have to go hire a coach now that we fired Gus. And Gus won plenty at Auburn. He just didn't win enough for Auburn. I think the top seven schools in the SEC are all the same. Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Auburn, LSU, and that's seven. The top seven schools in the SEC, they're all the same. The expectation is the same. Now, Tennessee maybe has fallen out of that a little bit, but the expectations are the same. Like, they are all the same for all those guys, which is You better win the national championship. You better be in the top 10. You better be competing for another national championship. And you better have like one off year surrounded by three good years on one side and three good years on another side. Because Gus Malzahn, what he did at Auburn, and I'm not the biggest Gus Malzahn fan in the world, but what Gus Malzahn did at Auburn normally earns you like the lifetime contracts at all these other places. And Auburn was like, nope, Gus got to go. He's only beaten Saban a handful of times, been to a national championship game. He won the SEC West a couple of years ago. But this is the SEC. And so I don't think Brian Kelly's going to win at that level. But I mean, honestly, like, I understand that it's different because, like, you were there. But I don't think any of this other stuff matters at any of these schools. I don't think at any of, like, the tradition. I think Nick Saban is the definition of a hired gun, where if Saban was coaching at Tennessee, he'd do the exact same things and the fans would feel the exact same way and he'd get the exact same contract and he'd just have a power T on his heart and he wouldn't care any more or any less for Tennessee. And I think that's just that's how the top seven schools in the SEC are. And so that's where LSU is. And the money they're paying Brian Kelly is legit money for those expectations. But I just don't know if he's a good enough coach to be able to win through that. Like, I just don't. And I don't like the culture fit. And just, he's just not an, he doesn't have an SEC personality.
But didn't you just say none of that stuff matters?
No.
In terms of culture?
So winning and losing. But like, the culture of Louisiana doesn't matter. Because all that matters is if you can win in the SEC. And it's different. I remember when Vanderbilt hired Derek Mason. And I love Derek Mason. He and I lived in the same neighborhood. And I didn't want them to fire him. And I don't think Vanderbilt treated Derek Mason perfectly, especially at the end. But he wasn't an SEC guy. And it's hard in this era, like in the college football playoff era, for me, it's hard for me to see an SEC guy or to see a non-SEC guy win in the SEC. Now, look, Will Muschamp was checked all the boxes of all the things that you'd want out of an SEC guy. He coached a high program. He was a great coordinator. He had worked for Nick Saban. He was an SEC guy. He had been at other SEC programs, and he was terrible. But I just don't think the fit of Brian Kelly, especially not being an SEC guy, I just don't think it's a good fit. Again, I mean, I don't know any of these coordinators. The guy that Virginia Tech just hired, maybe he's a great coach. I don't know. I don't know this guy. Jimbo Fisher at A&M, 9-4, 8-5, 9-1, 8-4. Good enough?
Like, year one, 8-4, I'm not going to hate it.
Gator Bowl, Texas Bowl, Orange Bowl.
That's just, it's not good enough. If you're getting paid $95 million across 10 years, I mean, the expectation is that you come in here and you are able to coach this team to 10, 11, 12 win seasons. That's the expectation. And not right away, but that's the expectation.
But after 3 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Jimbo's in year four. So we shall see. We're to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. So do you like it or do you not like it?
I really am indifferent. I mean, I think it's a strange culture fit. I don't think it's necessarily a good culture fit. He's proved that he can win in multiple places and that he had sustained success. Can he continue to do that in the most difficult conference in college football? I guess we'll see. Right now I'm indifferent, but I guess we'll see after next season if I really like him or not.
Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025, and we will do that next. Stelman & Company right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. We, of course, we're live from Bridgestone Arena. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Vanderbilt men's basketball take on Loyola Chicago at Memorial Gym on Friday, December 10th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 1025 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Vanderbilt take on Loyola Chicago. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, December 6th. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Coaches leave for different reasons. Kelly has been banging his head against the wall for years. They used to get mad at him because of the way he looked on the sidelines. Remember that when he first got there? You can't show that kind of emotion. This is too precious, too dignified, too rarefied of air for you. I don't think that's going to be a problem, y'all, at Baton Rouge. He can yell and scream all he wants, like Nick Saban does down the road at Tuscaloosa. You can yell and scream at the, you know, at your players if you get mad. Or, by the way, as Nick Saban does, yell and scream at your coaches. That's who Nick really yells at, his coaches. It's an easier job. The weather, the academic route's a little easier. There's players everywhere. You don't have to fly for every recruit. And by the way, Ed Orgeron, who's leaving LSU, is one of the nation's best recruiters. Brian Kelly sees that pot of gold he's inheriting. They also have a good young quarterback. So for the first time in Brian Kelly's life, when he steps on that campus today, because he's flying there right now, he will have every bit as good a roster as Georgia, Bama, Clemson, and Ohio State. And this guy's been crushing it for 30 years. He owes himself to be challenged.
There you go, Colin Cowherd. LSU is an easier job than Notre Dame.
Hot take.
I mean,
hot take.
Go. Let's pull up one of these random Brian Kelly years. Pick a year.
2014.
Okay, let's go. 2014 Notre Dame. Now, I know that the 2014 Notre Dame team lost at home to Louisville, who didn't have a quarterback, because I covered the Louisville team.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. 2014. 8-5 at Notre Dame that year. Let's see. They beat Michigan 31-0. That would be good, and I think that LSU fans would like that. Number 2, Florida State. They lost 31-27. Not sure that they'd like losing to number 2, but, you know, a loss to number 2 is going to happen.
Right.
Number 9, Arizona State. 55-31.
Loss.
I'm not sure they'd like that in Baton Rouge.
Wouldn't like that very much.
Northwestern lost 43-40 in overtime.
Tough.
I'm not sure they'd like that at LSU. Number 24, Louisville, 31-28 at home. Not sure they'd like that.
Tough.
At USC, 49-14. Not sure they'd like that at LSU. You can get away with it at Notre Dame. I don't know you're getting away with that at LSU. Especially when you take out Northwestern and you put in, I don't know, like Arkansas or Mississippi State or...
And that's
God forbid, Vanderbilt.
Well, that's the thing, is the expectation isn't just winning games. The expectation is, I mean, it's obviously you are going to beat the Mississippi States, the Arkansas, the Auburns, the Floridas. That is the expectation, is that should be a given, that you beat Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas every year. It's the expectation of, are we competing for the SEC West or not? Because if not, then the expectation isn't being met.
Lee is going to kick us off today, 615-737-1025. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for holding. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, guys. My first time calling in the station. Just started listening a few weeks ago and really enjoying it. So,
thank you.
A statement. So I understand, you know, Brian Kelly. I'm a diehard LSU fan, by the way. Let me just say that. Born and
Do you like the hire?
I did not like it until I started reading a lot more info about him, and now I do like the hire.
Oh.
Reason being, so in 2020, LSU had 5 players taken in the first round. Brian Kelly, since 2012, has had 9 players taken in the first round. That's going to be the difference, is the talent that he has and what he can do with it. And I think, you know, he never had that at Notre Dame. You got high academics, you know, you got the prestige of Notre Dame, all that. But you don't have just the ball or speed, you know, outside coverage, just the defensive backs. Just so much more he can do with the talent at LSU.
I would agree.
I think he's going to be a good fit.
They don't have the defensive backs that they – thank you for your call. It's only the fact that the first defensive back off the board this year in the NFL draft is probably going to be from Notre Dame. And I would say this about the idea of Brian Kelly. And now he'll get, now LSU, he'll get all the kids and he'll bring them in and he'll round them up and he'll go over Texas's NFL draft over the last handful of years. Texas hasn't had a lot of kids, right? Like a lot of high-end kids. Like LSU, you know, had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and Lloyd Cushenberry?
Lloyd Cushenberry.
Cushenberry. He came on our show one time.
Devin White.
Devin White, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You can name them all, you know. But Texas hadn't had a lot of these guys. That's because the guys recruiting at Texas haven't been doing a great job, right? It's not because there aren't kids in Texas.
There are plenty of kids in Texas.
Floyd told me a story. One time he went to Texas practice, and he was talking about recruiting with Mac Brown.
Uh-huh.
And he said to Mac, he goes, how many kids in the state of Texas did you offer? Mac said, I offered 26, which means he didn't get one. He goes, where's the one that you didn't get? He goes, am I going to hear about him? Mac goes, yes, you will. That one was Adrian Peterson.
Whoa.
Like, that is how, like, these schools, this idea that Notre Dame can't recruit, I mean, look, I wouldn't go to Notre Dame.
I think it's more difficult to recruit at Notre Dame than it would be at LSU.
I think it's a, but like, it's Notre, like.
I know it's Notre Dame.
Like, we're talking about Notre Dame like it's Vanderbilt. Like, I mean, you know, like, the academic standards are so high.
They're higher than at LSU, I can tell you that.
Here's my thing, though. Who's the best quarterback Brian Kelly's had at Notre Dame?
I don't know.
DeShone Kizer? I'm serious. I think it's DeShone Kizer.
Ian Book?
So that's not going to get it done at LSU.
But also, to the caller's point, there is so much more in-state talent in Louisiana than there is in Indiana or any of the Notre Dame recruiting hotbeds. And I know that Notre Dame, you know, recruits nationally, but at this point, every school recruits nationally.
Where was your national championship quarterback from?
Ohio.
Okay.
But where was Jamar Chase from? Where was Justin Jefferson from?
I hear you. But LSU's had these players for years.
LSU
having kids is not new.
But Brian Kelly's job with recruiting, I can guarantee you, 99% of those kids who play football in the state of Louisiana would go to LSU no matter what, because they were born LSU fans and they will be LSU fans forever, and that's their dream, is to play football at LSU. That's just how it is.
So is he going
to
get a quarterback, or is he not going to get a quarterback?
But that's the issue. It's like, LSU's had problems with quarterbacks for forever.
For forever.
It's always been an issue, except for one year when we won the national championship.
And who were his quarterbacks in Notre Dame? That's my point.
But like, also, who's the most talked about kid in high school who plays quarterback?
Now, this you got to do on your own time, because I have no idea.
Arch Manning.
He's going to go get him?
Well, where is he from? New Orleans, Louisiana. So I'm saying, like, I don't think he's going to go to LSU, but there's plenty of in-state talent that Brian Kelly has to work with, a lot more than he would be able to recruit at Notre Dame.
I'm not doubting that, but you still have to get him. Just like Texas has a lot of in-state talent. And Texas has not been getting the Texas.
But Texas has a lot more schools to compete with within the state of Texas. Louisiana doesn't. What, are you going to go to Louisiana Lafayette? You're going to go to southeastern Louisiana?
Yeah.
You're going to go to LSU.
But I mean, and, like, Texas is Texas.
Can kids from Louisiana go to Alabama, and they go to Florida, and they go to Texas? They do leave the state. But if you're talking in-state competition, it's more difficult in Florida. It's more difficult in the state of Alabama. It's more difficult in Texas, because there are so many big-name programs that they have to compete with.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they'd be more afraid of, like, Saban walking into Alabama. See, this is what I would worry about, and I think Ed Orgeron probably did a good job of this. I would worry about Saban, because Saban built the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a coach that doesn't have Louisiana in him and can't get Louisiana in him, like these Texas coaches can't get Texas in them,
mm-hmm.
Saban's walking right in and taking all the best players.
100%.
And that would scare me. 615-737-1025. Back to your phones on this next. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. And, of course, we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman & Company live at Bridgestone Arena. What a good day to have Trevor Maddich on the radio show. He'll join us at 4:30 today. I got to believe Trevor's going to love. He's going to love all these hires.
He is going to love it.
Let me tell you who I feel bad for.
I don't think he's going to love Lincoln Riley to USC, though.
Let me tell you who I feel bad for.
Who?
And I'm going to put that down, and we'll see what Trevor says,
okay.
And then we'll go from there. I really like Clark Lee, the Vanderbilt coach.
Guy.
I got to know Clark Lee just a little bit. You know, when I played in the celebrity softball game and he was one of the coaches, and he and I sat there and probably, you know, shot the breeze for, you know, a handful of innings. And I really like Clark Lee. He's a smart guy. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good man. I don't know if he's going to be good enough to turn Vanderbilt around, because that is a totally different animal. If he had turned down Vanderbilt last year, like if it had been publicized that Vanderbilt offered him the head coaching job and he turned it down and said something like, no, we're really building something special here at Notre Dame and I'd like to be a part of it, and he's the head coach today. They would have said, you know, Clark Lee has earned this opportunity. He's turned down head coaching jobs other places, and he'd be the head coach today.
But what if Clark Lee turns down Vanderbilt? You know, Brian Kelly,
stays
to LSU.
There for forever.
Brian Kelly goes to LSU, and then Luke Fickell comes into Notre Dame.
So I don't think that would have happened.
Or Matt Campbell comes into Notre Dame.
See, I don't think Notre Dame's like that. See, I just don't think that Notre Dame is like the, we want to go get the biggest name. Scott Woodward, the athletic director at LSU,
likes
the biggest name.
I mean, he's hired Jimbo Fisher and Brian, and he hired Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M.
Yeah, he's not going out and getting a coordinator.
And Brian Kelly.
So I don't think, I think that had Clark Lee not taken the Vanderbilt job and had stayed at Notre Dame, and he could have done that to go hold out for a better job. Gus Malzahn did that and ended up getting the Auburn job.
Yeah.
So he could have held out. He said, no, thanks to Vanderbilt. It really tore at my heart, but I love what we have at Notre Dame. Then Texas calls. Then you go to Texas, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd be the head coach at Notre Dame today. Let's go back to your phones. Text line 615-737-1025.
Kyle texts in and says James Franklin was not an SEC guy, and he did wonders for a bottom feeder SEC program.
James Franklin won at Vanderbilt. Like, at the Vanderbilt, like at the higher than expected level for Vanderbilt. But never once was James Franklin, like, competing with Alabama. If you look back to James Franklin's tenure at Vanderbilt, which I think is the best coaching job in the history of Vanderbilt University, if you look at that, they beat Will Muschamp's Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever they played like a really good, solid SEC team, like the 2012 Georgia team that was 8 seconds away from winning the national title against Notre Dame instead of Alabama, they got their brakes kicked on. Like, they got smoked. So Franklin did a good job for Vanderbilt. I mean, an incredible job for Vanderbilt. But Vanderbilt's not really an SEC school when we're talking about the SEC.
Yes, I hear you. But, I mean,
because you're not recruiting SEC kids at Vanderbilt.
To have a successful season at Vanderbilt, I would say, is absolutely
a feather in your cap. I used to tell Jordan Rodgers before he, you know, got famous, I used to say, like, any job interview you go into, you can literally kick your feet up on the desk and say, I was 8-4 as a quarterback at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And that should be enough on a resume to say, give this man a job in the accounting department, please. Like, and I've always believed that. But to sit there and act like, you know, what Franklin did was like an SEC thing, that was yeoman's work at Vanderbilt. Like, that was incredible, but it was Vanderbilt. It's different than coaching and saying, had he gone and turned Tennessee around? And I've seen non-SEC guys. I think he could have after his Vanderbilt tenure, because once he had the credibility mm-hmm. in the league, then you can go into those high schools in the South.
And the recruiting ties.
But I also think Franklin is more of like a car salesman than I think he is like a teacher. And I think coach is a very delicate balance between the two. So I don't know. What's next?
Craig texts in and says, as a Notre Dame fan, I think Brian Kelly can have success. He recruits many players out of Louisiana to go to South Bend. Now that's out of the way. No, do you have Luke Fickell's number asking for a friend?
I mean, look, I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I watch Notre Dame when they're relevant, which is fairly enough. I just think Kelly, the thing for me when you're going to pay that kind of money is I need a guy who performs better than the program that he's at. David Cutcliffe at Duke, for example. And I know, like, I'm not saying LSU should have hired David Cutcliffe, because David Cutcliffe's, you know.
Yeah.
But David Cutcliffe is so much better than Duke football. Like, he's so much better than Duke football. And they're never going to get another David Cutcliffe. And, like, that is the kind of coach that I want to hire. I want a guy who's better than my program. Steve Spurrier at Florida, Urban Meyer at Florida, and Florida's a great program. But like, Urban was better than what, like, I think the baseline for Florida, what the program of Florida is. I don't think there's much of a difference between Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee. Now, you can argue that there's better kids in Florida and Georgia than there are in Tennessee, but to me, I think like that is, you're a top 20 program. You should be almost year in and year out. You should be able to recruit with a power brand, and you should probably win a national championship like once every 15 years. And Urban won two at Florida and could have played for another one, which he didn't. And Kirby, will see if he can win one at Georgia. But like Fulmer, that was Tennessee football. Like one national title, but they were relevant. Like that is good for Tennessee football. But it's not like incredible for Tennessee football. But and I don't think Kelly, like Notre Dame, and I get it, this is not the 70s, the 80s, or the 90s. And everybody can be on TV now as opposed to what it used to be in the day where Notre Dame was the only team that was consistently on TV. But he never felt like, I never felt like Brian Kelly made Notre Dame a better job. Jim Harbaugh made Stanford a better job.
But coaches who make programs better than what they are tend to not leave.
Well, I mean, Urban left. Saban left. Harbaugh left.
But Saban's not leaving.
Franklin left.
Saban's not leaving.
So Nick Saban's not leaving Alabama right now.
Correct.
At least we don't know that. You know, Floyd and I used to argue all the time, which, you know, was he used to always think that if you really wanted a coach, you could go get a coach. If you really wanted a coach, you could go get the coach.
But what's a coach right now that is better than its program that would leave? I mean, Luke Fickell, maybe. But maybe?
Fickell's definitely better than his program.
Yes.
I mean, I'm trying to think of right now who's like totally outdone it. Mel Tucker didn't leave, but
that was a name that was on the table.
So like, I think Mark Stoops is better than Kentucky's program, and he's not leaving.
But he's not going to leave.
But these coaches, I mean, to the point of Mark Stoops signed like a 7-year extension or something, right?
I don't know off the top of my head, but he signed an extension, yes.
You offer him the $100 million like Lincoln Riley got, I bet you're getting Mark Stoops.
But also, just because Mark Stoops is better than Kentucky does not mean that he is going to be the right fit for LSU.
No.
Because the expectations at Kentucky are way different.
I'm not arguing that, but I also don't think there's much of a difference between Brian Kelly and Mark Stoops.
I don't know.
You're saying that, but do you think that Brian Kelly won at LSU the amount that a Notre Dame coach wins at Notre Dame? Mark Stoops is winning 9 and 10 games at Kentucky.
I mean, he's had 9 and 10 game season.
Yes.
Season.
No, he had a 10-win season, and now he has a 9-win season.
Okay, so two. How long has he been there?
Like
7, 8 years?
Like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a good job.
So I would love to see, hold on, I'm going to do this. Brian Kelly, the bowl games that Brian Kelly has played in. Because, yes, he has made it to the playoff twice, and he got smoked by Alabama in that one BCS title
which
game.
I said concerns me.
But, I mean,
he did beat LSU in the Citrus Bowl in 2018, I believe.
Here are your bowl games so far. The Sun Bowl, the Champ Sports Bowl, the National Championship Game, the Pinstripe Bowl, the Music City Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, pretty good.
Yeah.
The Citrus Bowl, it's okay.
Yeah.
Cotton Bowl. Camping World Bowl.
Camping World Bowl.
The Camping World Bowl.
What is that?
I don't even know. And then
is
the
that
Rose
in Orlando?
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, the injury excuse for the Titans. We did not talk about that yet. We did not accept that as an excuse yesterday. But it seems like it's starting to kind of round itself back into the narrative of why they've been losing, which I'm not sure is fair or not. We'll get to that. Plus, what the excuse I feel like the Titans are trying to make. We'll discuss that next. Stillman and Company, we're live from Bridgestone Arena at ESPN 1025 The Game.